Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. I'm excited about having John Fox back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. John is back in the building. John O. Fox, the author of one of my favorite books, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. And he's a tax attorney. He's also a professor at Mount Holyoke College, which, by the way, recently celebrated an anniversary. John, I guess you knew about that, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I wasn't there for the celebration, but, you know, it was founded in 1836, so it's been around for a while.
Yeah, a while. I've got that here somewhere, but welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you again, Jim.
Folks, John, what I love about John is, besides the fact that he's a really cool guy, he's got one of the most fantastic minds of anybody I know, and I love talking to him about lots of different things. And he's got a couple of ideas that I definitely think are worth listening to. All of his ideas are. But today we're gonna wander off the reservation just a little bit today, John, aren't we?
I think we will, if you permit me.
I like you. I've got your thoughts here in front of me, and I think you're onto something. My audience knows, John, that I am an opponent of the minimum wage. I'm an opponent of raising the minimum wage. I'm a free trader. I believe the marketplace needs to remain flexible and healthy, and that it will be if the government stops imposing price controls by government fiat. I think that if you want to see America's current, you know, some of America's regulations writ large and how that manifests, look at Europe right now. Europe is in the doldrums because of their regulations, their government regulations that are imposed upon on businesses. And so they can't fire anybody over there. They've got wage requirements. They've got vacation requirements. And consequently, the economy in Europe stinks. And my audience knows how I feel about minimum wage. I think if you want to, in America, if you want to earn more money, you can earn more money. You just have to get qualified.
Well, and this leads into what I'm I would increase the minimum wage to some extent, but I think it's really the wrong way to go politically, and I think much of what you say is certainly what many economists say. There's a big divide among economists. So where do we go from here? Democrats want a bigger minimum wage, a higher one. The Republicans don't. And most small business people don't. But you're going to end up with a situation as we have today that millions of people have gotten off of welfare as we wanted them to. They've gone to work, but they can't make ends meet.
Now, John, let me stop you for a second.
Yeah.
Some of them can't make ends meet.
Yes, some. But
some of them have gotten educated and have gotten promoted and have earned and are earning enough money to make a living now.
Absolutely. So, and it needs to be qualified that way. But we're talking about millions who got off welfare, went to work, and are now making a living and are better off because welfare reform was needed. We want to encourage people to get off welfare and stay on welfare.
One of the best things that ever happened in the Clinton administration.
But it's an imperfect world, as we know. And so many people who are earning the $5.15 minimum wage or so are earning about $10,500 a year. And after Social Security and FICA, that comes down to about $800 per month.
Right.
And that amount of money, we all know, is not enough to cover your costs, let alone your medical bills and child care and the rest. And so the question is, what should we do about it? I think most Americans would say that we ought to say to a person who works full-time that they ought to have a livable wage. And we say it for two reasons, I think. One is because we think it's a decent thing to do, that if you're doing that, that's the American thing. But secondly, it's really in the interest of small business. It's the interest of all businesses, because you want your workers to be able to live in a place that is affordable and decent, get decent housing and education and clothing.
But, John, you're making the assumption that small business owners if left to their own devices, don't pay their employees living wages.
Oh, well, a lot of them do, but a lot of small businesses can't afford to do it. And larger businesses.
Let me tell you something. Small businesses who need qualified people but can't pay them a qualified wage don't stay in business. They go out of business, and they should. If you have a business, if you're a small business and you have entry-level work that needs to be done, like sweeping a floor the first day you come to work and you have no skills at all, maybe you'll come to work at minimum wage, although I've never paid anybody minimum wage. I've always paid more than minimum wage myself. But the thing is that if you, any small business that needs somebody that's qualified and they can't pay them more than minimum wage, can't afford it, they got a bad business model and they're going to go out of business. Well, stand by. When we come back, I'm going to let John finish his idea. He's got a good one here, folks. We're going to get to it. He and I just have to banter a little bit as we go along. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back. Mr. Joe Cocker, ladies and gentlemen. Mad Dogs and Englishmen. That's the album. That's that song. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. It's high time we got back to our good friend John Fox, the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. John's got an idea, folks, on how to solve this minimum wage issue. And I think you're onto something, John. Here, go ahead.
Yeah, and I quite agree with you that a good business model for small business people is to move people beyond the minimum wage and train them and the rest. But I'm just addressing the question that there remain millions of people who are working in this country, working full-time, and can't make ends meet. And I think most Americans would agree that if there were a reasonable way to do it other than the minimum wage, that we ought to really consider it. And what I think we can do, we have in place something called the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is a refundable credit. That means if you don't owe taxes, you get the money. It's aimed at low-income workers, and it's helped them. And currently, you get about an extra $2,600, $2,700 at most if you earn, say, around $10,000. That will help you. And there's also a child care credit, but it's not refundable. And the child care credit ought to be refundable because one of the great expenses for, say, single moms, single dads, is their child care expense. So without talking about the exact numbers, I think it's really important that when our politicians are running for office, that we ask them, what about getting in our tax system some increase in the earned income tax credit and making a child care credit refundable to give people an extra $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 depending upon their circumstances that will allow them to raise their children in a more healthy environment, create a greater likelihood that this investment in our children will pay off in the long run. And and the attractive part about it is that we can afford it because if we increase the income tax by a quarter of 1%, we could pay for it.
See, I agree. Let me tell you something. You're going to say, all right, who are you and what have you done with my blessing game when I say this, John? But I actually wouldn't mind if my tax dollars, and I'm going to say this is hurting a little bit, John. Even if my tax dollars had to go up a little bit to make that, to cover that, I would be willing to pay it because what you've done with your genius that you have surgically installed a solution to the people who need it rather than the broad brush, blunt instrument approach, pardon the mixed metaphors, that the government has. Because, John, as you know, a 16-year-old kid starting out sweeping floors at the supermarket doesn't deserve $7.15 an hour.
Well, and what this addresses is exactly what you're saying, that I think most Americans would say, depending upon your circumstance, and particularly if you have a child or two children to raise, that we want to make sure that if you're willing to do what Americans ask you to do, which is get off welfare and go to work,
right,
that we're going to allow you to have a decent life to give your kids a real chance. And
yep,
if you do it through this modest increase in the income tax, then it's shared among us all, those who are retired, those who live on dividends and capital gains, as well as the middle-income people and who have a regular job.
And, John, if we had real leaders in Congress, people who really cared about operating our government efficiently, they could spend some of this boondoggle money that they're spending on other things like a bridge to nowhere in Alaska.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't have to raise anybody's taxes.
You wouldn't even think. You wouldn't have to. I'm telling you that for a modest increase, you can get this, but you're absolutely right if they were responsible. But
if a pig had wings, he'd fly too, right?
Right. But what I'd like people on the show and elsewhere to do is to ask people who are running for Congress, look, the minimum wage has been a big problem. It's an issue with a lot of people. But why don't we do the right thing by people who are doing the right thing?
And the reason they're not doing that, John, is because minimum wage for politicians is not about helping people who need the help. Minimum wage for politicians is, especially for Democrats, and my audience knows, I've been mad at the Republicans about the little stunt they pulled
right.
The last 30 days or so.
Yeah.
But that for the Democrats, minimum wage is a political football. Well, for both parties, minimum wage is a political football. It has nothing to, in their minds, I promise you, in their minds, it has nothing to do with the people who will get it. It's nothing but a political football to get a political advantage on the other party.
Well, you know, at this time, I'm sure you know that there's rising crime in our cities. Things are going badly again. I mean, it's you know, there's concern about dangerous crime. And what better investment can we make than in the people in America who are mm-hmm. doing the right thing, and particularly our children? And if you figure out child care, Jim, if you look at any of the statistics for one child, if you have your infant in child care all day, you're going to pay at least $4,000 a year. Well, on minimum wage, if you get $10,500 plus an earned income credit and some food stamps, you still don't have enough to pay that.
But John, your own senator, your own senior senator Kennedy, what you've just described makes absolutely so much sense. It's unbelievable. But I promise you, if you offered that solution to Kennedy, to Senator Ted Kennedy, the archenemy of small business, and you offered him that, he would turn it down. He would reject it.
What I'm going to do? After the show, I'm going to send it into his office.
And I'll tell you what else. We're trying to get him on my show.
Are you?
Yes, we are. We have a mutual friend who's trying to get him on the show. He thinks he can do it after the election.
Well, I'm going to send this in, and we'll see. Because
tell him that I tell him that I want to debate him on my show. I do. John, the big problem with minimum wage increase is it doesn't just affect the people who would get the minimum wage increase. It affects the people who earned $7.15 an hour, who now says, "Well, wait a minute. How come? You know, where's my raise?" I started out at $5.15. I worked my way up to $7.15. You know, now the minimum wage guy is making as much as I am. What's wrong with that picture?
Well, I think that the better solution is through a tax system.
Your idea is genius. I completely agree.
Well,
stand by. And of course, they have to have a job to take advantage of it. Tim Till, stay with us. We're going to move over to the Middle East right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Mr. John O. Fox, the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax and 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. John, give us your website and tell us where your books are available.
Well, the website is johnofox.org, and they ought to reach me through johnofox.org because it's been some years now, and so you can go on Amazon. Oh, you can always go on Amazon.com and get them.
All right, so check that out, folks, when you get a chance. John and I. I'm giving microphone. I'm giving voice to John's solutions to the world. And John, I'm going to nominate you. I think I'm going to write you in for president next time I go to vote.
Do me a favor. The
only thing is, but that's the good news, John. The bad news is Dick Cheney is going to be your vice president.
That's funny.
okay. You've got an idea for the Near East. I started to call it Middle East, but it's not really the Middle East. And I want to. Sometimes I call it Palestine, but it actually now encompasses more than Palestine, doesn't it?
Yeah. This is the idea. The United States has the greatest military. It's the greatest military power in the world. It also has the largest economy. And it seems to me, and I think others, that what's happened in Lebanon, what's happening in Palestine, clearly cannot be solved just through military action. I think that's
right.
Apparent now.
Well, Israel found that out.
Israel found that out, and it's been apparent for a long time. And so what's happening in Lebanon now is that we're trying to put together some hundreds of millions of dollars to go in while Hezbollah is racing ahead and going door to door and promising
right.
$10,000 per family in the rest.
That's how they've gotten so much, garnered so much support, not only Hezbollah, but Hamas in Palestine.
They do exactly that. In other words, they're not just an organization that hates Israel. They've gotten popular, and they're still, I mean, Hezbollah is still a distinct minority in Lebanon.
Right.
But their popularity has to do with, at least a good deal of it has to do with their services to families and communities and schools and the rest. And my proposal is that we declare that if we can have peace in Lebanon and peace in Palestine, take each one separately, that we have the equivalent of a Marshall Plan. And we can do it for a tenth of 1% of our federal income tax over the next 3 years. We can raise $10 billion a year, divide it between those countries, and go in and say, if you're willing to settle down and not be firing your missiles.
Start businesses and be part of the economy.
Yeah, and because this would be enormous for their economies,
mm-hmm.
we will go in and we'll build schools, we'll rebuild bridges, roads, we will help your small businesses. We're going to help your economy in a way that you've never seen before.
We're actually doing, those are the kinds of things we're actually doing in Iraq right now.
We're trying to do, but we're doing it through Halliburton and companies that, you know, have wasted so much of it. And the big issue, when I think about it, of course, is how do you deliver it? And you've got to deliver it on the ground. You've got to form local organizations that have, obviously, United States representation on it. You've got to think through how you deal with nonprofits. But it's the kind of thing that we should be doing it quickly. We're always sitting back waiting for the next, for the shoe to drop. So that's my idea. It's complicated.
Here's the problem. Name me one politician in the administration or in Congress. These two groups that are so hateful to each other so many times. Tell me one person who has this idea.
Well, I haven't heard it.
Exactly.
I haven't heard it, and it's
because John, it makes you wonder if they actually want to find solutions, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, they seem so timid in terms of, I mean, we're afraid to say to the American people, and I know this is a touchy subject on your show, but if we increase income taxes a tiny percentage for somebody, you know, for most of us, we all are not going to feel it that much, but we can do an amazing amount of good if we did it.
But the problem, John, is if we increase income tax, those people we've been talking about are going to waste that like they waste all the other. John, we don't have a tax problem. We got a spending problem.
And we do, and
we don't have a revenue problem. We got a spending problem.
Well, we do have, and in this case, this would be designated. It would be for 3 years, a limited period of time, and it would go only in the event that peace is there, and it would be administered through an organization that would involve the United States representation. It would include Palestinians. It would include the Lebanese.
If only, John, if only I could be in charge of where the money comes from. And you could be in charge of where it goes. You and I could solve. We could save the world, John.
Well, I think maybe that we might have to do that. But I'd be happy to send you, Jim, in a moment. But I think this is a serious.
I agree with you. Listen, I think you're onto something. I just wish we could hear from the people who could actually do this instead of a couple of geniuses who have no power. Thank you, John, for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you,
John Fox, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.